I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountains.
All right, Bill Bartee, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors.
Welcome, everybody. Bill Bartee here. Don Yeager over there. We are the Outdoor Guys via the airwaves of News 1110 99.3 WBT. Maybe you're joining us via the podcast. You can get that via app or head over to jessebrowns.com where we have it all broken down per segment for your listening pleasure. Don, who is your most memorable pen pal? Pen pal. Did you have pen pals in school?
Never had a pen pal, buddy.
Whoa. They didn't.
Had some buddies, had some pals, had no pen pals.
You didn't have to send off letters to faraway places.
You're
Italy.
Assuming I could afford a stamp.
Well, listen, we're going to find out from our next guest, an L.A.-based writer for Bloomberg Businessweek, National Geographic, and Outside Magazine. We're going to find out from him if his most devious subject was actually a mountain man that was a serial con artist. And this is in an article this week. We're going to bring on Brendan Borrell to the program. Brendan, welcome.
Hey there. How you guys doing?
We're doing A-OK. We really enjoyed reading your article, although there is a little bit of disturbing material in there because Don and I hang our hats over at a place called Jesse Brown's where we, using my air quotes here, Don, we romance the outdoors. And your recent article lends itself to a character who also romanticized the outdoors, but he did it as a con. Tell us about Jeff Caldwell, or Cantwell, whichever his name really is.
Right. I mean, this guy's been sort of his shtick for many, many years has been to position himself as an outdoor archetype, you know, sporting a puffy jacket and marmot clothing and all the fancy outdoor brands that you guys probably sell out there.
Hey, yeah, Don's pointing at me.
Bill.
And usually finds these things from resale shops or you know, trades them with somebody else he finds out there on the street. And, you know, and he just looks like the kind of guy that you'd meet at the trailhead who, you know, might need a little bit of help here and there. And so people are really open to him. Something about that, you know, you want to help out your fellow outdoors person. And this guy, Jeff Caldwell, has been kind of a bad character. And he's, you know, sometimes it's just a few bucks here and there, but sometimes he's taken women and really taken advantage of them and broken their hearts. And it's a real tragic story.
Well, this is not a new scam for him. He's been at this a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, perhaps his entire life. He's in his 40s now, and from what I understand, I mean, he came from kind of a broken home, and as a teenager, you know, he started to learn about how to get what he needed, and you know, it involved telling people what they wanted to hear. And he never really progressed beyond that, I guess. And you know, his scams got a little bit more elaborate, not that much more elaborate. And you know, and he was never really able to have real relationships with people.
So basically, he befriends people that he meets in the outdoors, and sooner or later gets into their wallet, huh?
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who's got the, you know, a big fat black book with lots of names. He tries to meet as many people as he can. And, you know, I think part of him really is interested in meeting other people. But then the second he runs into trouble or he needs something, it's like he goes back to these people. It's like the people who are his friends and will take advantage of them. Sometimes it's, you know, he's stolen checkbooks, stolen bikes, stolen things out of their houses, stolen outdoor gear. And sometimes it involves, charging $800 at REI.
Well, the article is Inside the Mind of Through Hiking's Most Devious Con Man. It's written by our guest here on the Carolina Outdoors, Brendan Borrell. And Brendan, I kicked it off by talking to Don and asking him about a pen pal. How did this guy become your pen pal? Because he was on the run while you were having correspondence with him.
Right. Yeah. That's the big part of the story. And I'd heard from the I opened the story with a woman back in June. He had stolen a car, taken a car from a woman named Melissa Trent, who he'd romanced and met over the internet. And he'd been on the run for about 6 weeks, and I'd gotten his number, and I was texting him and trying to reach him. And finally, he gets back to me, and he says he was up at this trailhead out in Colorado Springs. And we started talking, and he was just remarkably straight open with me and told me, you know, how disappointed he was with his life and how lonely it was to be a con man, and that he wanted something more from his life. And it was just, for me, it was like very heartbreaking. Like, wow, what, you know, this, I really felt like this guy, you know, you feel this connection with this guy because he's just so unguarded. But it started to become clear to me that this is the way he is. This is part of the con is, you know, he wants to forge a connection with people. And, you know, basically after he gets caught, he got arrested out in South Dakota. And, you know, we continued to, you know, talk over text. They have little text message devices they give them in jail. And then later on we exchanged letters. You know, he was also, you know, hoping that he could use me for something. You know, he was telling me the prices of deodorant and toothpaste in prison and seeing if I would give him some money for that. And he was always asking me to recharge his phone card and, you know, saying that it was so that he and I could talk. But of course he would use it to talk, reach out to other victims and try to get money from them. So he was continuing to run the con once he ended up, being arrested. And it was really a challenging story for me to sort of maintain a distance and, you know, and at the same time, you know what my limits were.
Is there a lesson for any of us? I mean, he used all kinds of things like a military service, death of parents, fiancés, children that he would use on people. But he also used a tattoo he had on himself that was a celebration of his completing hiking's Triple Crown, which is a completion of the through hikes, the Pacific Crest Trail, the Continental Divide Trail, and the Appalachian Trail. Was any of that stuff genuine and true?
There was often a grain of truth behind it. And I mean, that's the thing is he gradually, you know, he identified himself as part of the outdoor community, but you know, I was told, you know, he actually had an injury in his lung from a car accident. He'd punctured his lung, and people would say he would go on hikes with him, and he would be panting within, you know, the first mile or so. And oftentimes he would turn around after a couple of miles. But he, you know, he had made it out to each of these trails and, you know, spent the most time on the Appalachian Trail because he grew up in Roanoke. You know, and so there was this grain of truth that he'd been on the trails, but he realized that by getting tattoos, and it's actually not just one tattoo, it's three big tattoos on his calves for each of those trails, that people would believe him even, you know, they would even, you know, it's a pretty, that's going in full, pretty hardcore to get these tattoos and say, you know, I'm such a hardcore outdoorsman, you've got to trust me.
This dude was committed.
So the tattoos are the true identifier. Where are they located?
On his calves, yeah.
And on his calves, okay.
The year. Typically somebody who hikes one of these trails, you know, they put the year when they hiked it on there. And so he does that. And when, you know, and I, you know, when I talked to him, he admitted, he's like, no, I didn't tell people that. I just got the tattoos because I'd been to those trails, but that wasn't true. Everybody I talked to said he claimed he hiked the Triple Crown. He eventually went to this meeting out west about the, you know, for Triple Crowners, and ends up conning people out there. So, I mean, he definitely was using this stuff to his advantage. I think it was wrapped up in his identity as well. He was very lost, and he was trying to, he didn't have his own person. And like, this is how he could become a full person, I guess he felt.
So you got to wonder where he is today and who he's scamming, right?
Oh, we're going to get to that part next up here. Yeah. That voice over there is Don Yeager. The voice here is Bill Barty. Our guest, Brendan Burrell. He's a writer for Bloomberg, Newsweek, National Geographic, Scientific American, and we're honed in on an article in Outside Magazine about a guy named Jeff Caldwell, a.k.a. Jeff Cantwell. We kicked it off by saying, who is your most memorable pen pal? And was Jeff's main motivator money?
You know, I didn't get that impression. That's, you know, for somebody to be doing this for so long and getting so little money out of the deal, because oftentimes it was just enough to make it another week or two. He had sort of his big jackpots every once in a while where he would just, you know, go on a run with somebody's credit card. But for the most part, he just took enough to find a place to stay for the night, to get a meal. And when I spoke to an expert, a psychologist and writer named Maria Konnikova, she told me it's incredibly rare for con men to be doing it for money, because they're so smart. They could be easily doing something else to make a lot more money. And for him, it was probably that he doesn't know how to have a real relationship. And he pretends to be somebody else so he can get close to people and feel comfortable. And then, you know, of course he reaches a point of desperation because he doesn't have a job. He's trying to get to work. You know, well, he had little odd jobs here and there, and, you know, but barely able to, you know, take the bus. And then we'll take advantage of them. And, when I spoke to him, he was very, he would often refer me to people he thought were his friends, and they'd say, no, he took advantage of me. Cause he just doesn't even see it that way. He's kind of, delusional.
Well, Don, there is hope for us because he did talk about, Jeff Caldwell did, in Brendan Burrell's article about getting better looking later in his life, and which helped his charisma and helped the con out, too. He is incarcerated as we speak. We're going to go ahead.
Maybe we could get him for story time.
Ooh, I don't know. Brendan Burrell, the article is Inside the Mind of Through Hiking's Most Devious Con Man. We're going to link up to it on the Carolina Outdoors as well as over at jessebrowns.com. Brendan, thank you so much for joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors.
All right. Thanks for having me.
It's a great Halloween read if you can pull it up and enjoy it. Spooky what can happen out there. We're going to take a quick break and talk about something a little bit more pleasant, waterfalls in North Carolina after these messages. Yeah.